Listening to Radio Catskill.
Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, more than 1.3 million people in Pennsylvania can't vote in the Democratic or Republican primaries coming up on Tuesday, April 23rd. We'll talk to Spotlight PA, the independent, nonpartisan, member-funded newsroom based in Harrisburg, about why. Also, is St. John's Community School in Monticello shutting down? We'll learn more from one of the teaching support staff about whether this school for students in high school's dedicated wing is going to no longer be around for their participation. Plus, Earth Day is Monday. We'll speak to Seeds, the champion for conservation, and a preview of the We'll Hire a Sitter for This comedy show. Plus more. First, the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Jury selection continues in the criminal trial of former President Donald Trump in New York. Seven jurors had been impaneled, but one of them came forward to the judge this morning and asked to be excused. The juror said she was concerned her identity would be made public. The judge has instructed the media not to report the employer information about prospective jurors. President Biden says he supports House Speaker Mike Johnson's plan to split up a foreign aid package into parts. It would decouple U.S. aid to Israel from aid to Ukraine. Not all Republican lawmakers support Ukraine aid, and not all Republican lawmakers want to spend money on foreign aid at all. South Carolina Republican Congressman Ralph Norman is one of them.
The speaker is right in that, you know, we are considering these main measures under one rule. But the problem is, included in this one rule is not security for the border. How can we spend money we don't have, and how can we secure other nations when we're not even secure in our own?
He spoke to NPR's Morning Edition. More than a dozen members of the Kennedy family will endorse President Biden today at an event in Philadelphia. As NPR's Elena Moore reports, it is another public show of opposition to their own family member, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and his third-party presidential run.
President Biden will be joined on stage by some of RFK Jr.'s siblings and close family members. Afterwards, some of them will campaign for the president, knocking on doors and making calls. It's no secret the Kennedy family's ties to the Democratic Party run deep, and many have already been very critical of RFK Jr.'s candidacy. But a third-party candidate has the potential to splinter a portion of Biden's support this fall, making an endorsement like this one hold extra weight. Elena Moore, NPR News.
Stocks opened mixed this morning as the National Association of Realtors reported a slowdown in home sales last month. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose about 185 points in early trading.
Elevated mortgage rates continue to weigh on the housing market. Sales of existing homes in March were down 3.7% from this time last year. The average sales price last month was up just over $393,000. The combination of high prices and high borrowing costs has priced many families out of the housing market. Nevertheless, the share of first-time buyers rose in March to nearly one out of three homes sold. Would-be buyers also have more homes to choose from. The number for sale signs at the end of March was up more than 14% from this time last year. New applications for unemployment benefits held steady last week. 212,000 people applied for aid as the overall job market remains strong. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
On Wall Street, stocks are still mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now up about 150 points. This is NPR. National elections start tomorrow in India. That is the world's largest democracy with nearly 1.5 billion people. The voting will take weeks, and ballots won't be counted until June 4th. The ruling BJP party is looking to retain power, along with India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi. He is seeking a third term in office. Police in Germany have arrested two German-Russian nationals. They're suspected of planning to sabotage efforts to provide Ukraine with more military support. As Esme Nicholson reports, one of the suspects is accused of planning to carry out attacks on military bases, including U.S. installations.
Federal prosecutors have charged suspects they identify as Dieter S. and Alexander J. of espionage. Both are German-Russian nationals. Dieter S. is suspected of discussing possible attacks with Russian intelligence. Prosecutors say he agreed to carry out bomb and arson attacks on military and industrial infrastructure in Germany, including U.S. military bases. Both suspects are believed to have gathered information on potential targets and passed it to Russian intelligence. After the United States, Germany is the second largest supplier of weapons to Ukraine. For NPR News, I'm Esme Nicholson in Berlin.
The United Arab Emirates is still recovering from this week's catastrophic rainstorm. The UAE got a year's worth of rain in a single day. People were trapped in their homes and their offices and also in traffic. The airport in the UAE capital, Dubai, is the world's busiest. It's still struggling to get back to normal. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Monrovia, growing plants for nearly 100 years. Monrovia grows a diverse selection of shrubs, trees, perennials, and more for different climate and landscape needs, from hydrangeas to lavenders. Monrovia.com.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and it's our spring fun drive, and I've got several special guests. I'm joined in the studio by Carol Smith and Aldo Triani. Good morning to you.
Hi, hi.
Good morning.
Hello. Aldo, you may know as the host of Jambalaya on Saturdays at 2. And then also on the phone, I have Susan Mendoza from the Chi Hive in Narrowsburg. And you might recognize her voice as one of the voiceover artists that we have on that do some of our underwriting announcements and other promotions. Hi, Susan.
Hi, good morning, Tim, Aldo, and Carol.
Good morning.
So we're all here thanks to the Spring Fun Drive that's brought us all together and Radio Catskill bringing us all together, bringing the community together. Susan, you wanted to join us this morning to issue a challenge to that community.
Yes, I do. You know what, Tim, I just want to quickly say that, you know, I woke up this morning and I was in my own little bubble just around the Spring Fun Drive, and it kind of fell out of my radar, believe it or not. But I woke up this morning to an email that said that we were 2 days out from closing and we still needed to raise $18,000. So I figured, you know what, if any community could do it, it's this community. And so here I am, and the challenge that I want to put out is $175 challenge.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. And, we know everyone's busy, and the Spring Fun Drive is something on people's list probably, and we want to make sure that they know where we really are. So we sent that email out today. We're a little behind. We need to raise that $18,000 in 2 days to meet the $55,000 goal. And thank you so much for your support to get us there. So the way it works is we need to raise the $175, and then Susan will send it over to us. And then we put that all into the tally there, and we get that much closer to our goal. Right, Aldo?
That's really cool. You know, this past week I was inputting my phone number into a form online, and I inputted 845-482-4141.
As your own phone number.
As my own phone number.
I know. I think I dream about it at night. Yeah, 845-482-4141 is the number to call to donate to that challenge and to help support public radio. Susan, you're at the Chi Hive in Narrowsburg. For folks who may not be familiar with the Chi Hive, let them know what you do there, what you've got coming up.
Yeah, sure. So the Chi Hive Gym and Wellness is located at 22 Main Street in Narrowsburg, and we've just got a new website up and running now. We have a full-service gym, incredible personal trainers, beautiful classes for all ages in Pilates, aerial arts, yoga, meditation. We have our kids' summer camp coming up in July, August, a wonderful therapeutics team to support you on your wellness path, from massage to nutrition consulting. We also have a wonderful addiction and recovery program. So I encourage folks to check it out. But, you know, more importantly, I just wanted to say back to WJFF and this fun drive that, you know, just like WJFF, we're about community and y'all are about community. And I wanted to say that I personally am so grateful for what you and Jason, Mimi, and the whole team and all the volunteers and the board have done to evolve WJFF and really make it the progressive radio station that it is today. You've created a platform for public voices to be heard and seen, and you connect community. Okay. So, you know, I noticed on your website, which is really awesome, by the way, you have a fantastic website. I'm able to listen to Jambalaya thanks to your website. I just wanted to say that, you know, you're the FASA of the community, and FASA is the webby tissue inside all of our bodies that holds all of us together, our organs and nerves and ligaments and bone, and that's what WJFF is, right? You hold us all together. I love you guys.
I love that. Thank you. I didn't know I was the FASA. We're all that. So thank you. And thank you for your kind words. We appreciate that. I wanted to just say also again, remember, I had said that you can hear Susan's voice.
Yeah.
I'm going to play something. You'll recognize this here.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. Nice. WJFF Jeffersonville. W233AH Monticello.
That's Susan.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Nice.
Radio.
I'd always wonder that.
Susan is also a voiceover artist and helps us out with volunteering with that. And thank you so much for doing that, Susan. You sound great. Can I just ask you a question? How did you get into the voiceover work?
Oh, my gosh. That happened at a very young age, back where I was born in Newfoundland, Canada. That's all I can tell you. It started when I was very, very young. It was a long time ago.
Well, you sound great, and we really appreciate you doing that for us. And we also really, really appreciate not only your kind words, but this great challenge that you're giving us today to meet $175 challenge our listeners. Help us meet that goal. We've got those 2 days left to make it. This is really going to help out. Call 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. Susan, just remind folks where they can get information about the Chi Hive before I let you go.
Please, yes. Please check out thechihive.com, thechihive.com. And please give to the Spring Fund Drive. No amount is too small.
Thank you so much, Susan. We'll let you know how we do here. And thank you again. We really appreciate your support.
Nice to meet you.
Wonderful. Aldo and Carol, thank you for the work that you do.
All right.
Have a good morning.
Thank you, Susan. $175 challenge from the Chi Hive in Narrowsburg. Call 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org to meet that. We have been talking to folks during this drive about how they came to discover Radio Catskill and what they value about the station. And then Aldo and Carol are here to talk about their unique and special connection to the radio station. Do you guys want to share your connection to the station?
Oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble. You know, it's a
love story.
It's a neat coincidence. We're talking about radio voice. I think Carol heard my dulcet tones on my radio show and attracted her to the station.
Everyone should see Carol's face right now.
There are two versions.
The two versions. Yeah. There's the truth and the other version. So how did you guys meet? Was it through the station?
It happened. I was working for Bethel Woods, running a little weekend music festival called Mountain Music Fest. And I came in to ask Aldo to promote the festival. But prior to that, I'd been stalking him. And I got dressed up that day and came down here. He was already with another beautiful woman.
Well, I was just chatting with her, chatting her up a little bit, you know. But
okay.
It was actually quite romantic. Carol and I both lived here for a long time, and Sullivan County was kind of a lonely place 20 years ago. You know, there wasn't much going on here. If you remember, on the border of Sullivan and Ulster County, where it says the sign says Sullivan County, there were junk trailers and cars. And, you know, Sullivan County's come an awful long way. It's a very beautiful place to live. And Carol and I had that in common. We've lived a lot of other places in the world, and we kind of found ourselves here just by happenstance. Mm-hmm. And we found each other, you know, the same way. She showed up at the station, wanted to talk about bluegrass and Americana music, and we knew a little bit about that because we were in the Jambalaya slot on the first Saturday of the month. It was an open mic program, and the rest of the Saturdays it was Jambalaya. And ultimately, the open mic program morphed into a Jambalaya program, and Jesse Ballou and I share that, hosting that show now. I do the first, third, and fifth Saturday, and he does the second and fourth. And it works out, you know, quite nicely. But people think that now I'm some kind of an expert on bluegrass and Americana music, and I'm not.
You just like it.
I just like it. But being on the radio was something that I always wanted to do. I I was discouraged by the department head at the University of Wyoming, who said I have a lateral lisp and I probably should find something else to do. And I ultimately did. But the WJFF gave me an opportunity to be on the air and have a lot of fun doing it and develop an expertise in American music. Okay. Carol needed that for the Mountain Music Program.
Yeah.
And she came out for a consultation, just for a visit. And we have lived happily ever after. And as I said before, it was my dulcet tones which attracted her to the station. But she's instructed me to not talk so much on the air and just play music.
How's that working out, Carol?
Yeah. Well, it's marriage, and everybody knows what that's all about. Yeah, I don't really need to explain too much.
Yes, but do you feel like he's maybe gained some more knowledge about mountain music and bluegrass music since meeting you?
I mean, our relationship has been very fertile in terms of both of us have expanded our knowledge of all things.
Well, let me tell you what I learned. I learned that this woman is actually a force in the arts community and that she's currently an expert on the Frederick Cook Society. And
yes.
The exhibition that she put together is outstanding. She's been involved with the Catskill Arts Society and with the other guys up over the hill. Well, yeah, Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. Carol's been involved with the arts community here for many years, and she's an expert-level artist. She's trained at Florida State University.
Excuse me.
And her advice to me is don't be an artist. She looks at my photographer, she says, don't be an artist. You'll only get a beret. It won't fit. But she's an extraordinary human being. And
aren't we here to talk more about the juicy side of our relationship?
Well, no, that's a different radio program. That's on late at night.
I feel like we're ready to hear this. We're talking to Aldo Triani and Carol Smith about their discovery of each other through Radio Catskill. The station has connected them, and we connect so many people in the community. If you have a love story you'd like to share, call us. Or if you just want to tell us about how you came to discover the station, 845-482-4141. It's more important than ever to call us and let us know and support us. Because it's the end of our fund drive on Saturday and we need to make up some ground. We are moving toward our 70% of goal. Close, $38,000. We just heard from Gary, who is calling, donating online from Florida. Says online, I'm happy to support the work of WJFF Radio Catskill for the past 27 years. The Dorothy Gillespie Studio, located in Narrowsburg, New York, is open to the residents of Narrowsburg and the other communities of the Catskill. Catskills every summer, and Gary is the president of that. We've had him on and talked about the Dorothy Gillespie Studio, which is a great treasure as well in our area. So now on that 175 challenge from the Chi Hive, we have about $100 to go. So call 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Aldo, Carol, thank you so much for being here. You're going to be here for a little bit and maybe take some other lovebirds calls.
Yeah, sure. We can do that. And drink a little bit of coffee. Yeah.
Get some coffee, and we'll check in with you later, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and the Pennsylvania primary is coming up on Tuesday, April 23rd. More than 1.3 million people in Pennsylvania can't vote in the Democratic or Republican primaries, which are held on April 23rd. Spotlight PA is the nonpartisan statewide member-funded newsroom based in Harrisburg. Their mission is holding the powerful in Pennsylvania to account through independent, investigative, and public service journalism. There's a campaign to change that statistic that I mentioned to you earlier about independent voters, and Jason Dole spoke to the reporter on that story, Kate Hawangpu of Spotlight PA.
Pennsylvania is one of about 10 states that has a closed primary system. So that means only people who are registered to a party can participate in that party's primary election. So that means if you're registered to a third party, or if you registered as an independent, meaning you don't identify with any major party, you're functionally not able to vote in the primary for candidates. So this covers about 1.3 million people in Pennsylvania right now. That number is growing. A lot of people are registering independent more and more. But oftentimes primaries are the elections where candidates are decided, right? Like there are a lot of districts where there's a huge majority of Republicans or Democrats, so the general election really matters less and less than the primary.
But there in Pennsylvania, there's folks that want to change this. So how are they approaching this effort? How long have people been working on this?
Yes. So this goes back at least 2 decades from by our count. That's the earliest bill text I can find. It's from about 1993, I believe. But essentially, there are variations on this, but most of the bills nowadays want to allow independent voters to participate in primaries, so not third-party voters, but people who aren't registered to any party. And they would be allowed to pick either the Democrat or Republican primary to participate in.
You make note that this effort's moving slowly. And why do you describe it that way?
Yeah, well, I think there's been times in the recent past where, you know, like the bill has passed the state Senate or it's passed the chamber, the state government committee of the House. But it's never managed to sort of get both chambers in recent history or ever really. So that's why there's been a lot of longstanding efforts and a lot of lawmakers who supported this starting their careers in the legislature and have been here, you know, like 10, 15 years later, and they're still advocating for it. Notably like Senator Dan Laughlin and Senator Lisa Boscola, I believe they both said that they started their careers supporting this bill and they've brought it up every year since, and it's still yet to pass.
Is an open primary in any way more fundamentally democratic than a closed primary? Is anybody making that case, or is it really just that's what they're saying?
Yeah, that's sort of the argument that good government advocates for this change are making, right? Where by including independents, you're sort of tampering down on the far right or far left parts of this party. Those independents will sort of bring that centrist voice and result in fewer extreme candidates being elected through primaries. Because primaries, you're appealing to the base of the party, right? You're not being weighed down to the center by opposite members of you know, the Republicans, the Democrats. And similarly, they're also arguing that, you know, if you're a registered independent, then functionally you're paying for elections that you're not allowed to participate in. And that is, in their view, a form of disenfranchisement.
Right. I guess, you know, a lot of people might think, well, if it's an open primary, you might get one party trying to mess with the other. And then you're thinking of very partisan actors in a model like that. And in that scenario, that hypothetical, you're basically passing right over the role of independence in the process.
Yeah, there's certainly people who are against open primaries are concerned about crossover voting that you were talking about. You know, people who are participating in primaries that maybe they don't actually believe in, but they want to, you know, skew or have a political agenda when voting in another party's primary. Some other arguments I've heard are just the logistics of this, right, where county election directors are going to have to print a lot more different kinds of ballots to allow for all these different kinds of voters to participate in different kinds of primaries, which would just be would create opportunities for more mistakes to happen, right? Just because there's a lot more to do. Similarly, I think I've also heard county election directors say that, you know, you are able to change your registration up to 2 weeks before the election, I believe. So you could, if you wanted to, change your registration, vote, and then change back, right? So it is just a logistical and procedural process. I think the people who are advocating for this change, it's more a matter of principle for one, but it's just easier for another.
You mentioned the fact that there's essentially 10 states that have closed primaries. I didn't realize it was that small a number. Are you looking at how this is trending across the country, and is it trending in one direction or the other?
Yeah, by and large, most states have definitely more open primaries than we have. Some states have partially closed primaries. Some states have partially open primaries. So it's definitely a spectrum. It's just dependent on how many, like some states allow third parties, some states only allow independents, et cetera. So Pennsylvania is definitely on the more restricted end. We're the most restrictive end with about, you know, a dozen or so other states. But I think by and large, a lot of states have already shifted this system to allow at least independents, sometimes third parties, to participate in their primary as well.
Does this issue, this open primary issue, overlap with any other notable movements for good government or pro-democracy? For example, people that are advocating for ranked choice voting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this issue, so far as I know, that like the Ballot PA, one of the biggest advocacy groups that are, you know, lobbying for this issue, are linked with Committee of 70, who I know support a host of election administration reform. I don't believe that ranked choice voting was one of the ones that they're like pushing really hard at the current moment. A lot of their advocacy is based on sort of like pre-canvassing, changing early registration dates for voting, for voter registration, early voting in person dates, sort of things like that. So there's some crossover, but by and large, Ballot PA, I think, just focuses on this issue.
Finally, are advocates looking for any direct action from the electorate in Pennsylvania on this issue?
I mean, right now, the bill is sort of stuck, right? Like, it has passed the state government committee in the House. The House leadership, Democratic leadership, hasn't said whether or not they would call the bill up. In the Senate, it's interesting because, you know, like 5 years ago, the bill passed, I believe, like 44-6 or something like that with a pretty big majority. But at that time, the Senate president was the one pushing the bill forth. So there was support in leadership. This time around, we're not quite sure where Senate leadership stands on this. I think there's a varied, like a spectrum of interest in the in Senate Republicans, but I don't know if there's momentum to put it forward. And similarly, the Senate State Government Committee chair has said that he's pretty against this bill. So it's unsure as to whether or not it'll actually get passed this session.
Your beat is, you know, the governor, the legislature there in the Commonwealth. Could you just give us anything that you're looking at now that you might be working on for next story, or what's happening in Harrisburg?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now a lot of people are gearing up for the primary. There are three row offices that are up for election. So the attorney general, the auditor general, and the state treasurer. I'm currently sifting through some campaign finance documents, and we're going to be doing a write-up on that. Other than that, as far as the state legislature itself, what I've been keeping an eye on has been a lot of energy policy-related stuff. A host of bills were introduced today by the Blue-Green Caucus, which is a sort of like environmental labor union, where they proposed a lot of energy and utility bills. Similarly, the governor had his own energy proposal, a lot of activity with the hydrogen hub. So that's sort of what I'm looking at.
Kate, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
And that's Jason Dole speaking to Spotlight PA's Kate Hongpu about the April 23rd primary. You can find more of Spotlight PA's reporting on our website and also at spotlightpa.org. And we'll keep you connected to what's going on in the April 23rd primary in Pennsylvania coming up Tuesday. Tomorrow we'll hear from one of the candidates for the 139th Legislative District, the seat recently vacated by Joe Adams. That special election will be held on Tuesday, April 23rd, and the 139th includes parts of Pike and Wayne counties. We'll hear from Democrat Robin Schooley Skibber. She's the former director of the Pike County Area on Aging, about her candidacy, and we'll continue to bring you other election coverage here at Radio Catskill. It's our spring fund drive, and we need your support to be able to bring you that coverage. Support us now at 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org. Make that online donation, just like Gary did, all the way from Florida. Thank you, Gary. He comes up in the summer to open up and support the Dorothy Gillespie Foundation studio in Narrowsburg, which is a great art installation there in Narrowsburg with all of Dorothy Gillespie's great art. And now he has helped us meet a part of the challenge that's been issued by the Chi Hive in Narrowsburg. The Chi Hive issued a $175 challenge earlier this half hour, and we just have about 100 to go. So call us at 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org to make your donation. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk to the folks from SEEDS, the Sustainable Energy Education Development and Support Group in Pennsylvania, about Earth Day. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from The Furniture Restore, located on Main Street in Jeffersonville, specializing in antique and vintage furniture, rugs, art, and lighting. Because buying well-made and pre-owned is a better choice for the planet. Winter hours online at therestorejville.com. And from The River Reporter, the community newspaper serving four counties along the Delaware River in Pennsylvania and New York. RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you.
We've heard from so many of your friends, neighbors, and fellow listeners during this pledge drive. Now we just need to hear from you. Do your part to support Radio Catskill. Make a contribution now to keep your community radio station serving your community. Go to WJFFradio.org, make a one-time contribution of any amount, or become a sound supporter at WJFFradio.org. Thanks.
Call us at 845-482-4141. And yes, you can also go to WJFFradio.org and donate. We have a challenge from the Chi Hive, $175. And we have heard from Gary, and we just heard from Anonymous in White Lake, who gave what she called in to talk to Mimi in the office on 845-482-4141. She said it was so nice to hear Carol's voice, and she loves their love story. So thank you so much, Anonymous in White Lake. Donate again. $50 now left on that challenge. Help us meet it. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Earth Day is coming up on Monday, and SEEDS has become one of the region's champions for conservation since its inception more than 20 years ago. The mission is to promote energy efficiency, renewable energy, and sustainable living. And they hold a book share of each fall, and they also work to develop renewable energy infrastructure through forums on solar energy, like one scheduled for the end of April. Here to tell us more is Jamie Rieger from SEED. She's the development director. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here, and happy early Earth Day, I guess. Earth Day, I guess, a big day for SEEDS. For folks who may not know about SEEDS, can you explain a little bit more about your mission? I know I kind of briefly mentioned it there in the intro.
Sure. We are a nonprofit group that focuses on renewable energy, energy efficiency, and sustainable living. And we really try to educate the public on ways they can be more sustainable. One of the great ways to be sustainable is to reduce our carbon footprint, which is why we promote renewable and sustainable energy.
Right. And one of those ways is through solar energy. There's a workshop coming up, the Solar Forum coming up. Solar energy, I think that, you know, people are kind of used to understanding a little bit about what it is and how it works. But you guys are doing something in promoting DIY solar and installing solar. Now, that's something that I think maybe I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. But is it really that easy to do it yourself?
Well, the do-it-yourself solar workshop coming up on April 30th and May 1st is an introduction to learning whether it is possible to have a solar array put on your roof, knowing whether your roof is oriented, how much it costs, the payback, how to get the rebates, and your payback over time. So it's really an introduction whether you can actually have a PV solar array on your roof. And then the follow-up to that is a two-day hands-on installation where participants will participate and watch a PV array being installed.
Got it.
And then know whether they can do it, have a roof put on themselves, whether they doing it themselves is much more tricky, but whether they can have one put on their roof.
Got it. Okay. Well, so it's a DIY-ish, but you could learn a lot there. It's a solar installation workshop coming up April 30th and May 1st. There's more information about that on your website, seedsgroup.net, and a lot of other information too, including information about energy assessments. Can you tell us a little bit about the energy assessments and what they do and how folks can participate in those?
Sure. Our energy assessments are different than an energy audit. Our energy assessments are our volunteers with a team, usually of high school students. We train them. We train our volunteers and take one of our experts, just a few people, not a whole team, a lot of people, but a small team into your home and look at ways that you can become more efficient in your home, reduce your energy use. And that's really the first step in being more sustainable, is reducing the energy cost to you. So you're looking at saving money, and our team comes in and shows you low cost ways to reduce your energy costs and use, whether it's weather stripping around your windows and doors, replacing windows, replacing light bulbs, or bigger items like replacing your appliances to Energy Star, or as much as putting solar panels on your roof. So it's from low cost, easy ways to save energy and reduce your energy costs to the bigger ticket items that would save more but cost more. So it's a really range and a great way to learn about ways to increase your efficiency and decrease your cost.
I think that's a great idea. I think, you know, a lot of folks may really want to, you know, conserve energy, improve efficiency, but they don't know where to start. So this is a good start. Where is this a free assessment, or is there a cost to it?
It is free. It's a great way to really learn about it and make some improvements in your house. And it is all free. All you have to do is either get on our website at seedsgroup.net and find out, send us a message, give us a call, and put you in touch with the folks that provide those energy assessments.
That's great. It's spring, but you're already thinking about the fall. As the development director for Seeds, you're probably focused on your big book share event. Tell folks about that event and you know, why it's such a big deal, and how can they get involved?
Sure. We are starting that planning already. It is a big event happening the very first weekend in October, October 3rd through 6th. And that is held at the Wayne County Fairgrounds. It is an event that you can, if you have books piling up at your house that you don't know where to get rid of, you can take it there. And we set up one of the buildings at the fairgrounds like a library. So you can, all the books donated get put into library sections. And so it's a good way to donate your books, and or you can come and take any number of books you would like. And it is all free. Donate and take. You can do one or the other or both. And what happens at the end is the books that are not taken by people coming to get books for themselves is they are sent to a place that sends books to places that can reuse them.
Recycle or reuse.
They resell them and donate, and they recycle what they can't get rid of, and we recycle all the ones that they are not able to take. So we really reduce the amount of books that are sent to the landfill and repurpose them, which is a great way to be more sustainable.
And you're smart to be telling people about that in the spring, because I'm sure there's a lot of spring cleaning going on, and people might be ready to get rid of some of those books. Where can they donate those books to put them into the book share for fall?
You can come to the book share in October and drop them off. We do not have a place to store them until then. So if you are doing a spring clean out, put them in boxes and save them until October, and we would love to have your books. And It's a great event. We have over 40,000 books that have been donated per event in the past. So lots of books and a great way to recycle.
Yep. Write seeds on the side of the box and then you'll be reminded, right?
Right.
The folks at Seeds have, like I said, been around for 20 years, helping out folks in Northeast Pennsylvania and actually, partner with about 15 or so groups and won some awards. Could you tell folks about that?
We have won the Pennsylvania Environmental Partnership Award in 2019 for our free book share. We have also won the Pennsylvania Environmental Partnership Award in 2011, which is given to organizations that provide great environmental programming or benefits to our community. So we are very recognized within our community for doing and providing great education and programming in Northeast PA and surrounding areas.
Yeah, and if folks want to become a member or get involved as a volunteer, where can they go? What can they do? And also, again, let's remind folks about those energy assessments and the upcoming solar workshop. It's all on the website?
Yes, you can go to our website at seedsgroup.net and find out all of our contact information there. And we always need volunteers. We have lots of volunteers that help with the book share. We can train people for on our teams for solar assessments. We are looking for board members now as well. So if you have time, energy, and passion, we would welcome you onto our board or as a volunteer helping out with any of our programs.
All right. Jamie Rieger, Development Director of Seeds of Northeast Pennsylvania. Again, there's more information at seedsgroup.net. Jamie, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with an update on our Spring Fun Drive Challenge from the Chi Hive and more. This is Radio Chatskill.
Hi, I'm Brent Jones, Senior News Apps Developer at NPR.
I'm Casey Morell, and I produce the NPR Politics Podcast.
My name is Kristen Hartman. I'm the Senior Manager of Business Development at NPR.
I work in public media for a lot of reasons, but the main one is that first word, public. What we do is available to everyone, everywhere.
I started at NPR answering phones when listeners called. And I stay in public media because I'm just insatiably curious about what we can do and create when we all work together.
I've worked in public media for more than a decade because I believe it's important to help people understand the world around them, how we got here, what's happening now, where we're going, and why it matters to all of us.
Help keep public media strong today by making a donation to this station. Here's how. And thank you.
Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Hi, Ira Flato here. The folks at Radio Catskill are looking for your support to help keep bringing you Science Friday and all the other shows you've come to rely on throughout the day. Here's how you can help. And thanks.
Radio Catskill is here every day, offering the very best of public radio to your friends, neighbors, and you. Help keep it going for everyone in the community. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
And that voice you heard there at the end is Susan Mendoza from the Chi Hive, who has issued a $175 challenge for a spring fund drive. Just issued that about 40 minutes ago. Heard from a couple of folks, Anonymous in White Lake, Gary down in Florida. Just need $50 more to meet that challenge. Can you help us? Call us at 845-482-4141. Or go to WJFFradio.org and donate right now. Help us meet our goal for our spring fund drive. We have to wrap this up on Saturday and need your help right now. 845-482-4141. You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. And Patrick Holbert Gaster and Gaster Almonte produce a podcast called We Hire a Sitter for This. They mostly talk about parenting, and it's also balancing their career and life and comedy. They're going to be performing in Hurleyville coming up on April 20th, which is Saturday. And we have them both on the phone now, Patrick and Gaster. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Great, great. Always congrats good, on a good. Successful fundraiser. It sounds like it's going great up there.
Yeah, we're doing okay. We have a couple of days to go to close the gap, though. We're still about $16,000 short, but we can do it. This last minute is when we get most of our donations with folks that may have forgotten. So call now. Thanks for mentioning that, too. Tell us about your podcast, We Hire a Sitter for This. You know, I kind of briefly explained it, but what's it about?
Yeah, so it's a podcast my wife and I started years ago, but it turns out when you have a child, life becomes so complicated that my wife had to retire from doing the podcast. So that's when I brought Gastor in, who is an amazing parent and comedian himself. So maybe Gastor can speak on how his experience is so far.
Yeah, I've had kids a little bit longer than Patrick, and when he explained the idea of the show that he had, I instantly saw the hurdle of having both parents have the exact same hobby and leaving their kids at the same time. So, I think it was a good move by Patrick to occasionally sub me in for his wife and have somebody watch his daughter.
Yeah, so, you know, it was originally billed as, you know, newlyweds discussing their lives, and so now it's morphed into the two parents, two fathers discussing things. How have things sort of evolved for you guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just been so fun. The thing I'm most grateful for having Gastor on is I can oftentimes turn to him in desperate need for a pep talk. Sometimes I just need to do an episode of the podcast so he can say, hey, don't worry, it gets easier.
and
you know, I enjoy it because you know, at home I'm usually the person that's like learning from someone else. Here I get to share that knowledge after the fact, you know. My wife is the far better parent, but with Patrick, I get to feel like my wife on occasion. You
know? So, I mean, you know, you guys cover a wide range of parenting, you know, how to talk more positively to children and communication and, you know, how to be better parents with strategies. Do you find that, like, having the two of you guys coming from two different households coming together with these similar situations helps just create more conversation?
Yeah, I think so. I got a little distracted because I want to let you know I have Franny home sick from school, and she just requested a Band-Aid that I don't want to say this too loud, but I don't think she needs. so maybe Gastor can comment on that.
Gastor, go ahead while he searches for that unnecessary Band-Aid.
Yeah, I feel that it's led to open discussion about parenting. Being frank, as a dad, I don't know if until this podcast I really checked in with my fellow dads in my life about things that, you know, I struggled with, and we do it comedically, but I genuinely like find that it's helpful to talk out your issues, you know. I think there's this thing called therapy I'm hearing about. It's like all the rage, you know. So yeah, you know, it just kind of gives me an opportunity to kind of talk out with another man who is genuinely trying to be a good dad with similar hurdles, and I think that's always helpful.
You guys, go ahead.
That makes me feel proud. I just want to say, like, I do think we are, you know, we're at the tail end of this very American attitude of like men will be men, and we're tough, and maybe we don't have to check in about our feelings as much. But I think our generation is certainly like getting more hip to being open and honest and vulnerable. And that makes me feel good to hear Gastor say that. I haven't really thought about it that much in terms of our podcast.
Well, and, you know, you're busy. You're finding medical supplies for your children. So you guys have your We Hired a Sitter for This stand-up comedy event at the ballroom at the Hurleyville Performing Arts Center on Saturday at 8. What will you guys do in this stand-up comedy event that's a little different from your podcast? How does the audience interact?
Yeah, so that's it's a stand-up show. You know, Gastor and I are both, you know, headlining comedians. We both travel and do regular stand-up shows. And We just recently were invited to do something like this a couple months back, and we just had so much fun where we added an element where we both did our own comedy, like regular straight-ahead stand-up, and then we got on stage together at the end to kind of do an improvised Q&A kind of interactive part of the show, and it just kind of was really fun.
Yeah, you know, and it was just a chance to kind of connect with people and answer some of the questions that we get from listeners or find online live in the room. So it leads to some fun moments for both us and the audience. So you still get, like, the stand-up portion that people would like from a stand-up show, but that, like, fun Q&A at the end with the with two other dads is also cool.
Yeah, and I do want to take an opportunity to give a disclaimer that, like, if you're not a parent and you're not that interested in this topic, like, we both cover a wide range of topics. We're both kind of very different performers. I think we complement each other well. And we also added a third comedian to the show. We have Rob Christensen. He's going to open the show, which he's overqualified to do. He's been on Comedy Central. He was a writer for Jon Stewart for about a year or two. So it's going to be a great just comedy show. If you're a comedy fan with no kids, you will also have a great time.
What are some of the questions? Right. What are some of the questions that you guys have been getting that have either been funny or surprised you, or something that sticks out?
Well, what I found really interesting is how much people disapprove of my wife and I deciding to have just one child. This is in Hyde Park, New York. I got a lot of pushback from the crowd about the number of children we decided to bring into the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Surprising pushback in Hyde Park.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed seeing how many people agree with me that Patrick should not feed his daughter food from the floor. It's been cool building community that way.
I've had a liberal attitude change toward the 5-second rule. But you know, here I am with a sick child at home. So who's wrong now? I guess I have a lot to learn.
Both of my kids are in school, Patrick.
I'm just looking at some of your recent episodes. You had a recent episode of the podcast where you discussed the joys and challenges of parenting during the Easter season. Can you share a little bit some of the joys and challenges?
Yeah. So that was I took her solo out to Denver to spend time with her cousin, and the challenge was, just air travel with a toddler, getting in a car service, getting to the airport on time, you know, how much luggage can she carry? I pep talked her for days and days leading up to it that there's going to be a lot of walking because she's sort of in this weird post stroller phase where, you know, can I keep putting her in the stroller? So, yeah. And then it was the candy negotiations on the way home. You know, she scored a bag full of candy from family out there. And it was on the flight home that she had this bag of candy that I can't, you know, you're at an airport at 6 a.m. on Easter morning. You can't really tell a kid no candy for you. So it was a long day of tummy aches and and a couple jelly beans off the floor.
Again, you guys, we hired a sitter for this, Gaster Almonte and Patrick Holbert stand-up comedy event. It's at the Hurleyville Performing Arts Center Saturday at 8. And there's more ticket information at I can hear Franny's in the background. Hi, is she feeling better?
Yeah, she's good. What happened is yes, you still do that gauze won't work.
Oh.
Okay, let me go see. Let me go investigate.
Okay, so we're going to let you go so you can find the gauze. We move from Band-Aid to gauze. This injury, this unnecessary injury, is getting worse.
I appreciate that you know there is no blood, I swear. Everybody's fine.
She just wants she wants all the accoutrements. She's like, let's get this now.
Totally.
All right. More information at hpacny.org. And you can hear the podcast. We hire a sitter for this wherever you get your podcast. Thank you both for joining us. And thank you for, thanks, Franny. And I hope she feels better, quote unquote.
She's going to do great. Thanks so much, Tim. Have a great weekend.
Right, you too. Thank you.
Appreciate you, man. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. We have a little bit, $50 to go on our challenge for the fund drive here. The challenge issued by our friends at the Chi Hive, $175. So we just need to hear from a few more folks to call in and let us know that they support public radio for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. It's 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. Call now and show that support. $50 left. We heard from Anonymous in White Lake, Gary in Florida this hour. So just that $50, can you help us get there, meet that challenge, and get closer to our goal? We're now at 70% of our goal for the entire drive. It's a $55,000 goal. So that's $38,578 that we've raised so far. So there's a little bit to go. We sent out an email. Check your email. Letting you know it's urgent. We have to do this in the next 2 days. If we don't make the goal, then, you know, we might be putting some programs at risk. We pay for programs that we receive from our national distributors, like On Point coming up next, Democracy Now! At noon, Latino USA, The World, All Things Considered. All of those shows cost a little bit of money. We take your money and we pass it over to them so that we can provide this service to you and the entire community for free. Free to you. We pay them. Your support goes there, right? So support that. Be a part of the community that makes public radio possible in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania with your donation right now. Just $50 left on that challenge from the Chi Hive. Support us now at 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. And I want to tell you again that Tiny Porch concert that we had scheduled for last Saturday, we rescheduled it for this Saturday. So coming up live on the porch here at our studios in Liberty, you'll get to hear some great local music live in person outside on the porch. Looks like it's going to be a nice day, like a little gray and cloudy now for the next couple of days, but some sunshine and 55 spring weather for the Tiny Porch concert. Lots of great local artists, including Little Sparrow. You heard from Aldo and Carol earlier. They're part of Little Sparrow. They'll be performing live. So many more. You can come and join us with some free beer from the Catskill Brewery or purchase some wood-fired pizza from Upcycle Brews and Bites. You can even drop off a donation if you haven't donated yet or you want to make another donation. 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. It's our spring fun drive. Let's close it out and do it in a big way. That's all for this edition of Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening. Donate now.
Radio Catskill supporters include SUNY Sullivan, a community college in the Sullivan Catskills focused on preparing students for the future. More information at sunysullivan.edu. Livingston Manor, dining, shopping, and the arts at the gateway to the Catskill Park. LivingstonManorNY.com. And listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Hi, my name is Samuel O'Hurst Kessler. I'm a producer on the Planet Money podcast.
My name is Claudia Pescuta, and I'm a supervising editor on NPR's Morning Edition.
My name is Sachi Kobayashi, and I'm a director of collaborative philanthropy at NPR.
My name is Devin Meller. I'm the operations manager for NPR's New York Bureau. My high school creative writing teacher introduced me to public radio.
I'm jokingly what's called a backseat baby.
I did not grow up listening to public radio, but I discovered it at some point and fell in love with the news coverage and shows like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I got my introduction to radio by working at WXPN in Philadelphia. And on my first day, I realized that everyone there was there to serve the listeners, no one else.
However you found public radio, you can be part of the community that makes it possible.
Please give to this station today. Here's how.
Support Radio Catskill during our spring fund drive. Give now at wjffradio.org.
Or call 845-482-4141. I'm Tim Bruno, joining the studio by Mimi Bradley with an update on that challenge from the Chi Hive. It was $175 from our friends at the Chi Hive in Narrowsburg and Susan Mendoza and the team there. And just checking in, did we do okay? Did we make it?
We did. We more than made our challenge. In fact, we got a couple of nice, generous donations there at the end. So many thanks to Richard and Amy out in Maryland. Thank you to our anonymous and White Lake donor. Thank you to James for donating online, and also thank you to Gary once again.
Thank you so much, everybody. We made that challenge, and we'll add that into the amount that we need to raise. And just refreshing here, and we are at 71% of our goal.
Yay. You all that are listening have really come through this morning. We've moved that dial. Thank you.
We definitely have, and that's what it's going to take to get us to that goal. Your support right now, 845-482-4141 or wjffradio.org. It's WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Cloudy with occasional rain showers today and a high of 44. Cloudy tonight, low 37. Tomorrow, some more clouds.
Oh.
Some on and off rain. It's gonna be like this for the next couple of days. Maybe a little warmer, high 53. But guess what? Sunshine, 55, partly sunny on Saturday for the Tiny Porch Concert.
Yay.
It's 11 o'clock.